Soprano Karen Slack joins me on Classical Conversations for a discussion on Beyond the Years, which is an album of art song by Florence Price and recorded in collaboration with pianist Michelle Kahn. So we will have all the details here coming up. Let me first extend a warm welcome to you, Karen, and it's nice to meet you and good to have you on the program.
Wonderful to be here. Very nice to meet you as well.
This album is just chock full of world premieres. So it is this wonderful unveiling and opportunity for the public to take a closer look at Price's work in the realm of art song. But at what point did you encounter these songs and dive into that recording project?
It's been about only 2 years, I have to say, maybe even less than that. My dear friends and collaborators, Steve Spinelli and Tamara Acosta, who make up One Composer, who co-produced this album, approached me about Michelle and I building out our collaboration. They actually brought Michelle and I together during the pandemic to do some virtual performances, Margaret Bonds and Florence Price. And after that recording session, we all loved the chemistry that we had together, and we decided to build upon that. And we weren't sure whether or not we wanted to do Bonds and Price, all Bonds, all Price. But if you when you have a pianist as gifted as Michelle, and Florence Price is herself a gifted pianist and composer, I said we have to do Miss Price's works. And so they sent me a couple of manuscripts, and I just fell in love with what I saw even before what I had heard, you know. And that's how the project was born.
And many of those manuscripts were unpublished, is that right?
Yes, there are, I think, about 150 songs that are unpublished. But yes, everything on the album is unpublished. And we recorded some other things, some spirituals and a couple of other pieces. But these were the ones that I thought were representative, because we all know Mrs. Price's spirituals, and many of the African-American composers, you know, their arrangements of spirituals, but we're not familiar with the art song from these composers.
You mentioned there being about 150 of these art songs, and I was leafing through the program notes there. 26 of those contain texts by Paul Laurence Dunbar, and I see some of those made it into Beyond the Years, one of those being the namesake for the album. If you want to talk a little bit about the poetry and maybe the meaning of Beyond the Years from your perspective.
Sure, sure. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Paul Laurence Dunbar, because one of the concepts we were throwing out was all Dunbar Price recording. And once I started going through the manuscripts and understanding that she set a lot of his dialect composition, she composed for a lot of the dialect pieces, the poems that he wrote, you know, so there was a lot of language that we don't use anymore. And I said, no, I wanted to veer off into the more poetic songs. You know, there's some beautiful poetry in this album, and lots of nature, lots about love, you know, lots about yearning and dreaming. And I think it was just representative of where she was. She never was very far away from her music with her own life story. And so, when we started deciding what we wanted the title of the album to be, Beyond the Years kept coming back. It kept coming back and coming back, saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, you know, maybe Desire. We thought about Desire because that was the first song. But Beyond the Years kept coming back saying, please pick me, pick me, pick me. And I was struggling with whether or not I wanted Desire. But it just sounded too sexy. Desire sounded not appropriate for the album name. And then I was listening to Beyond the Years over and over and over again. And the theme of this album is that these pieces are timeless. They go beyond the years. These pieces were written more than 50 years ago. So, and they still sound relevant. And that's why Beyond the Years.
Well, it's very interesting that you bring up some of the recurring themes too, like nature and love. I didn't realize that Florence Price was a poet herself, and there's actually some of her own poetry in this album in the piece Spring.
Yes, spring. It's that the dew is on the grasses, dear. The blush is on the rose. I think that that is what that poem was. There are promises and pleasure and hope in the spring. Yes. You know, I struggle with this piece, I have to say. It's very light and it's completely different than some of the grander, pieces with the blush accompaniment and the soaring lines and all that. And so after all of the recording, these three pieces are a little bit more dynamic to scale it all the way back and sound very light and airy and very and there's a lot of text. And this short little piece, but it wound up being a great couple of takes, I have to say. I really was like, meh with the piece at first, but then I sort of fell in love with it. When you have lines like "There are laughter and magic and joy in the spring," I mean, it makes it so much easier to sing, when you lean into those things.
Since you do mention the interweaving of the vocal and piano parts, what was that collaboration like with Michelle?
Oh, I really enjoy working with Michelle. I mean, she's works with singers fairly well, I must say often. She does a lot of chamber music, but because of her position at Curtis, I think she has worked with singers. I find her to be very inspiring and very supportive, and the piano, which makes it much easier for us to sing. When you have someone who plays a little bit under the volume for both those of us who sing opera, who sing grand opera, it can be a bit of a challenge. But I love working with Michelle. She has her own concepts, and she's very familiar with Miss Price's, music. So it just made it very easy, and we vibe off of one another. She's very musical. And then it allows me to be as musical as I want to be. So it's wonderful to do a project like this, to have two prominent Black women in classical music present Miss Price's music. It's historical in its way, as I say, groundbreaking. That's one of the PR words that we use, but it is. Oftentimes I say lots of composers, particularly composers of color, particularly women, don't oftentimes get their pieces heard by or performed by a higher level of artist. Some of these things sit on shelves at universities, and if some young person pulls it off the shelf and happens to, be curious, then the piece gets done. But now, after pandemic, after all these movements and things like that, these composers who were kept out, but we're writing beautiful pieces and pieces that belong in the concert hall. They belong on programs, and so I think for us to be able to do this is quite fabulous, and I'm honored.
Do you think Florence Price's art songs give us a little bit of a different perspective on her compositional output? Because we may be more familiar with some of her orchestral works, but this is totally new.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I've been reading some of the commentary or some of the reviews, and I think that people don't get it. I think people, not that people don't get it, the album, I'm not that it's been reviewed very well. But when I read some of the quotes, I go, you're not reviewing, you're listening to her concertos and her very grand or pianistic or orchestral things that we didn't even know existed now. And you have to judge it, you have to judge this body of work against the Schuberts and the Brahms and the Strausses, not against her orchestral pieces. These compositions are so beautiful. She packs so much in 2 minutes on a large scale and on a very small scale, in the very same way that Brahms and Strauss and Mahler did. I think that you have to think about that, and what a gift. In the very same way Brahms and Strauss and Mahler have two completely different styles when they write vocal art song, and when they write pieces for orchestra, right? And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just think also as women, you just critique more, right? You just get, there's a lot more eyes and comments and opinions about it. But the way she writes for the voice, I sometimes she tricks you. She puts these big high notes in, and you're like, where the heck did that thing come from? And or she'll write something very low, but low in the range for a soprano, but she knew her singer. She knew who she was writing for. She wrote beautifully for Marian Anderson and Carol Bryce and any of the sopranos, the Leontine Prices and all these things that were specifically written for certain voices. She knew how to write for the voice.
It sounds like she was dedicated to writing idiomatically in that sense, which is wonderful. If you have any final thoughts or acknowledgments that you'd like to share, the floor is all yours.
Yes, I want to say, well, thank you to everyone who has supported this project fiscally, who has shared this project on social media, who all of the radio stations. I heard that it was on a couple of radio stations across America, I haven't heard myself on the radio just yet, but I'm grateful for anybody who chose a piece off of this project to share with the world. I want to thank my collaborators, one composer and Michelle, Ken. I hope that we get to do this type of work again. I want the audience to know that these things take a lot of time. It takes years to put these things together. I mean, to go to travel to a library in the middle of America, to dig through manuscripts, to dig through the papers of a composer is love. That's the kind of heart love work that it takes to pull those things out and to bring them to an artist like me and say, I think that you're the person to present these. So I'm grateful for anybody whoever thought of me in that way. And I want to continue to do these projects, continue to bring composers who are unseen and unheard and unknown. I want to continue to bring them on recording. So I'm grateful for everyone.
Karen Slack, thank you so much for your comments and also pulling back that curtain and shining a spotlight on these art song gems by Florence Price. It really has been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I'm grateful. Thank you.